أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإخوتي وأخواتي الكرام، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله سبحانه وتعالى He says in the Quran
إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء.
إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. It is only those with knowledge, it is only the scholars who truly have the khashyah, who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says,
يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ
يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises those of you who have faith and those who have knowledge, darajat, He raises them up levels. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, it is incumbent upon every Muslim and every community to have the devotion and the love and the learning from the scholars, from the ulama, from the people of ilm. Only those who have knowledge truly have the fear of Allah. Only the ulama, they are the ones who truly have the khashya of Allah. And as the Mufassirin, they explain this ayah. They say it is the ulama who know the names and attributes of Allah. And they study His signs and His ayat and His book. And therefore, they are the ones who are able to convey His message. They are the ones who know His commandments and His prohibitions. And so it is from them that we must learn our religion. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, if we truly love the Quran, if we truly love the Quran, and we want to follow the commandments of the Quran, then we have to learn it from the shuyukh, the scholars. Because they are the ones who are endowed with the understanding of the Book of Allah. When we learn from our ulama, when we learn from our imams and our shuyukh, we are learning from Allah. Because the ulama are the warathatul anbiya. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ said, al-ulama warathatul anbiya. The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. They did not leave behind gold and silver, but they left knowledge. Whoever learns it as a thing. Is a center of learning. It's a center where we can go and learn from our scholars so that they can pass on the inheritance of the prophets. The mirath al-anbiya. What did the Prophet ﷺ leave behind? The knowledge of this deen. So when we come to the house of Allah and we humble ourselves to the people of knowledge, we sit in the classes, we learn from them, we get the correct understanding of the Quran and Sunnah. If we want to follow the Quran, we have to follow the scholars who interpret and teach the Quran in accordance to the rules that were set down by the great scholars of the past. It is not for every person to interpret the Quran according to his whims and desires. This would lead to great deviance and great misguidance. So, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, a very important point I would like to make today is that we should all have we should all listen to the people of knowledge. We should listen to the scholars. We should give them their rank, their place, their rightful place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. When He said that He raised them darajat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them darajat. If Allah has raised them darajat, then how should we hold the people of knowledge in our hearts? Allah Himself, He's saying that He gave the ulama the role of explaining religion. When He said,
فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ
فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ Ask the people of dhikr if you do not know. Who are the people of Dhikr? The Mufassirin, they explain, they are those who studied the scriptures. And this particular ayah was revealed regarding the Nubuwwah of the Prophet ﷺ. When they had doubt, is the Prophet ﷺ truly the Messenger of Allah? Allah says, ask the people of knowledge. Don't ask the ignorant people who don't know. Ask the people who study the scripture. If you don't know, is he a prophet or not? In the same way, what we must do when we have questions in the fiqh and the sharia and the Islamic law, we must refer to the experts in the fiqh, who are our scholars. And this is the role of the masjid. The first and foremost role of the masjid is to be a center of learning and da'wah to Allah's religion. It is a place where people can come to gain the inheritance of the Prophet, to hold on to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The role of the imam is to remove his nafs and to convey the message, the knowledge from his predecessor imams going back through a connected chain to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Allah azza wa jalla. The second point I'd like to make tonight, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I won't keep you long inshallah, is the importance of adhering to the Tawheed of Allah. The importance of holding on to the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I hope the sisters are listening. The talk is not just for brothers. Sisters, they have an important role to play as well in the masjid. So I hope all of the sisters who are standing, if you could also listen, inshallah. Yes, so the importance of adhering to the kalima La ilaha illallah. The word La ilaha illallah, which we all say in our prayers, and which we all believe in as the first pillar of Islam, La ilaha illallah is not simply a word that we say that does not have meaning, that does not have implication. In fact, the word La ilaha illallah is greater than any other word spoken in this universe. It is the heaviest word with a great implication and a great meaning, and it's something that we should all understand and be able to not only say it, but to understand it and act in accordance with it. Hasan al-Basri, one of the great companions of one of the tabi'een, he was asked, somebody told him, we hear people saying, whoever says La ilaha illallah will enter paradise. Hasan al-Basri, in his wisdom, he said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, fulfilling the conditions of La ilaha illallah, he or she shall enter paradise. There are conditions to La ilaha illallah in order for it to be accepted by Allah. Another of the Sahaba, or another one of the Tabi'in, his name was Wahab ibn Munaffa. He was told, somebody said to him, we hear that La ilaha illallah is the key to paradise. La ilaha illallah. So then, Wahab ibn Munaffa, he said, yes, it is the key to paradise. But doesn't every key have teeth? Either you bring the teeth or the key will not open. It will not open the door. So La ilaha illallah, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, is a great word with a great implication and meaning. The first condition of La ilaha illallah for it to be accepted from us, to be the key for us to enter paradise, is the knowledge. Allah says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا. We should understand what La ilaha illallah, there is no deity worship in truth except Allah. We should understand what it means of negation and affirmation. La ilaha, this is called nafiyah bin jinx. There is no deity. There is no object of worship that is true, that is worshipped in truth. Yes, there are other objects of worship. People, they worship idols, they worship angels or prophets, they worship Isa alayhi salam. He's an ilah. Some people worship themselves. when they give their hawa, their feelings, precedence to the commandments of Allah. And some of the ulama said the worst idol worship on earth is people's own hawa. As Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Did you not see the person who took his desires as his God? So we say La ilaha first, we negate any deity, any object of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We negate any concept that people submit to or subservient to or that have love and tawakkul upon or call upon or seek help through. We negate any intermediary that people take as a means of worship to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First we must negate, we must remove the false objects of worship. This is the first condition of La ilaha illallah, the negation. The second condition of La ilaha illallah is the affirmation. Illallah. La ilaha illallah. Illallah, it means that all of our actions, all of our acts of worship, whether it is prayer, dua, sajda, calling, fearing, hoping, loving, trusting upon, all of these acts of worship, sacrificing, slaughtering, just like we had on Eid, they should only be to Allah and Allah alone. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that my prayer, my sacrifice, my life and death is for Allah رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. He has no partner. He has no partner. So you see, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the first and most important condition of La ilaha illallah is understanding what it entails of affirmation and negation. First we negate any intermediary, any object of worship, any person, righteous saint may he be, prophet, angel, none of these things have any ability to harm or benefit. Illallah, except Allah. And this is what we say in our salah every day. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Iyyaka, you alone. And here the ulama say taqdeem wa maf'ul bihi. Iyyaka, you alone we worship. We don't say we worship you, because someone could say we worship you, O Allah, and we worship Jesus, and we worship a saint. So we say, you alone we worship. So there's no possibility of adding anybody else. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. رُبُوبِيَّة is for Allah alone. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone we seek help. When we need help, true help is trusting in Allah. Seeking help only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making dua only to Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. We worship you. Our life is for your ubudiyya. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And your help we seek to fulfill ubudiyya. We need Allah's help to complete our ubudiyya to Allah. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the masjid is the place where we can learn about fulfilling our ubudiyya to Allah. The masjid is the place where we can strengthen one another and learn the knowledge that will be passed on from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming from Allah. Again, when we listen to our scholars and our ulama, it's as if we are learning the true meaning of the Quran. If we want to hold on to the Quran, we must go to the people who have expertise, the scholars who can tell us what the Quran is. When we listen to our ulama, it's as if we're listening to the Quran, because they are the inheritors of the Nubuwwah. And finally, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Imam Rafa'i, when he invited me to speak, he wanted me to say a few words about the importance of the Muslim home and how we can make the home a place of worship. And I wanted to say a couple words because it's a very beautiful topic. The house, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not leave your homes like graveyards. Do not leave your homes like graveyards. Pray in your homes. Pray. How many men, they come to the masjid, they pray five salah with iman, they learn, they sit in the majalis, they benefit from the knowledge, and they go home, and they don't teach their wife anything. They don't teach their children anything. This is a great shortcoming. It is the duty of the husband. He's the ra'i. He is the shepherd of the house. It is our duty as husbands, as fathers, to go home and teach our wives, teach our children, have ta'aleem in the house. Pray so that our children see our example, inshaAllah ta'ala. And finally, we should help one another in the house to fulfill this tawheed in Allah. The wives, the husbands should wake up their wives for prayer at night. What did the Prophet do in the last 10 days of Ramadan? Does anybody know? What would he do with his wives? He would wake them up. Say, wake up, pray. How many people are clothed in this world, but on the next world they have nothing? He would have to encourage them to get up and pray at night. And he said in authentic hadith, let a man wake up his wife. And if she doesn't wake up, sprinkle water. I'm not saying pour water. Sprinkle water on her face so that she wakes up. And the wife, if the husband doesn't wake up, she should try to wake him up, helping each other. And if he doesn't wake up, sprinkle and drink the water to make him wake up. And you can pray together. This is part of making the home a place of iman and faith. A place of tawheed and Allah. And encourage one another to attend to the test. Give us the devotion to our scholars and give us the benefit of them so that we have the adab. Because adab, one of the ulama, he said, and I'll close with this, he said, we are more in need of a little bit of manners than we're in need of a lot of knowledge. This is one of the tabi'een, he said, we need more, just a little bit of manners, and we don't need so much knowledge. A little bit of knowledge with the manners will bring us great benefit. A little bit of action in accordance to the sunnah is better than a whole lot of action without knowledge. InshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah give us understanding. May Allah bless your community, your families. May Allah accept from all of you. Jazakumullah khairan. And please forgive me for taking so much of your time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah.